This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Today is 346 days of Operation Swords of Iron. Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yes, day 346 of the war and day 346 of more than 100 Israeli hostages still kept somewhere in Gaza. A little story about Hirsch Goldberg Pollin, who, of course, his name has been in the news a lot recently, particularly following the funerals that were held for the hostages, the bodies of the hostages that were brought from Gaza recently. We knew that Hirsch was a great fan of Hapoel Jerusalem, the basketball team. And in fact, in a recent game, the team wore special shirts which had Hirsch's portrait on it, and also a line from his father's eulogy, "May your memory be a revolution." That was quoted on the shirt of Hapoel Jerusalem when they played up against Hapoel Haifa. So we knew that he was a great fan. And of course, there were a lot of Red fans who made themselves known at the funeral. They accompanied his body to his final resting place. But I didn't know that Hirsch was a Werder Bremen supporter, Werder Bremen being a German football team that plays in the Bundesliga, in the highest division of German football. And apparently he was a Werder Bremen fan. And yesterday at the game against Mainz, there was a massive poster, "Hirsch forever," displayed by fans of Werder Bremen. They went on to beat Mainz 2-1 in the end in the game yesterday. But just something which goes to show the impact that his memory has had around the world, in the places that you would least expect for this to pop up. All of a sudden, his name is popping up everywhere.
Why is that?
And just as well.
Anthony, why is that? Do you think that his story touched people in a way that it hasn't touched us for other hostages? I mean, we're compassionate towards everyone, but you understand what I'm asking, right?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the publicity campaign that his parents embarked upon, particularly his mother, she made sure that his name was everywhere. She made sure that she was very, very publicly seen. She traveled extensively, as indeed many of the other hostage families have done as well. But she's particularly eloquent. Her English is excellent, being a former American. She has somehow managed to get to places which other of the families have not done. Not to say that they haven't worked very hard, because we know that many of them are really doing work which doesn't come naturally to them. Many of them have shunned publicity all their lives. Many of them are not particularly good public speakers. And yet, now that the situation has called for them to somehow be more public and to make the plight of the hostages known, they've done incredible work. And of course, Rachel is particularly visible amongst the group of hostage families who've done this incredible work. Later today, the Israeli government, officials from the Israeli government, are due to meet with U.S. Special Envoy Amos Hochstein. He will meet apparently with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he will meet also with Minister of Defense Gallant, in order to talk about the war in the north. Now, Amos Hochstein is an incredibly interesting character, and many people, very few people know where he comes from and what his background is and how come it is that he's turned out to be the special envoy on behalf of the Biden administration. And I just went in to look a little bit about Amos Hochstein and who he is. He was actually born in Jerusalem. For those people who don't know, his parents were Americans who immigrated to Israel, and Amos was born in Jerusalem, and he did serve in the IDF. The American administration goes to great lengths to emphasize the fact that Amos does not hold dual citizenship. So we understand that he is not an Israeli citizen right now. He is an American citizen, and he has created a career for himself, which has been focused in the oil and energy industry for many, many years, carrying out a number of different roles for private companies and indeed for the U.S. administration in energy. But right now, because of the work that he did in negotiating that energy agreement between Israel and Lebanon, which centered on the gas fields, and he seems to have been successful on behalf of the Biden administration. We understand that he's created some sort of special links with individuals in Lebanon and potentially even with Hezbollah. And so he will be coming to Israel later today. And Prime Minister Netanyahu said that he will be seeking a breakthrough in the situation on the northern border, and that the situation that we currently have on the northern border cannot continue to exist, that he pledges to restore safety so that the 60,000 residents of the border communities in the north can return home. The discussions will be held with Amos Hochstein, who will then, I understand, move on to discuss this with the Lebanese administration and representatives from the Lebanese government. So that's going to be an interesting one to see how it goes.
Yeah, it is interesting. Anthony, some of these stories coming out of Israel this weekend, very serious stories. So the IDF has reported that an IDF commander unit carrying out a ground attack in Syrian territory last week. What more has been revealed about it?
Well, not a great deal, and nothing official has been said by the IDF. And these reports that I've read come from Syrian media and indeed American media rather than the IDF. But we understand that on September the 12th, a commando unit from Sayeret Matkal, which is one of the most elite Israeli commando units, apparently used ropes to rappel themselves to the ground from helicopters, apparently engaging in clashes with Syrian guards who were guarding a facility which is considered to be a major military research institution that houses the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center. But really, a lot of this, we understand, focuses on military research, and in particular is considered to be the hub of Syria's chemical weapons program. And this commando unit hit the ground. They apparently attacked this facility underground. They first began the operation by bombing roads that lead up to the facility to prevent people from reaching the facility while they were conducting this operation. They then even penetrated underground in order to destroy the facility and the work that's going on in that particular area. And we understand that it's also considered to be a stronghold of Iran, that the Iranians have a lot of influence with what is going on there. The report goes on to suggest that Israel has been tracking this facility for something like 5 years, that this operation has potentially been prepared over the past 5 years in order to somehow destroy the Iranian-built missile production infrastructure, the research, the chemical weapons work that's going on, that was going on inside that facility. Very, very little reported about it, but we can have no doubt that this is a major, major operation that has taken months and years to prepare, that is very daring and audacious in every possible respect, and that our commandos apparently all came out. Everybody was accounted for on their return back to Israel after having carried out the attack. That's really all we know. I'm sure that there is a lot more that can be spoken about, that can be discussed, and might well be a movie or a book one day when more information is released. But this is all very cagey information, but there's no doubt that this is a major event and a major operation that has been carried out by the IDF.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Israeli news sites, you know, I just think you must be living in some kind of, I don't know, it's very polarized, right? You go from the greatest heights of awe and gratitude to despair to, I'm not quite sure how, it's almost schizophrenic, Anthony, because the IDF also released the results of an investigation into the deaths of three hostages whose bodies were found 9 months ago. So what has that investigation concluded?
Well, this is the situation surrounding the deaths of Sergeant Ron Sherman, Corporal Nick Baser, and Elia Toledano. Their bodies were found in a tunnel approximately 9 months ago, and the IDF has now released the results of their investigation into the deaths of these hostages. And the bottom line of the investigation says, if one wants to read between the lines, that these three hostages were probably killed, and we can't say for sure, but were probably killed as a result of an IDF airstrike in a tunnel facility where they were being held. The IDF airstrike at the time targeted Hamas's Northern Gaza Brigade commander, Ahmed Gandour, who was hiding in the tunnel in the area of Jabalia. And the IDF goes on to say that before carrying out airstrikes of this nature, the IDF uses all intelligence that they have at their availability in order to check where they believe hostages might be held, and they wouldn't continue to carry out an airstrike if they had any reason to believe that hostages were in that area. So the IDF report says two things. First of all, that they were advised that there were no hostages in the area when the airstrike took place. And more than that, they go on to say that they were further advised that these three individuals who ultimately were killed in the airstrike, they believed them to be held somewhere else. So all of this suggests that they have some information about where various individuals may be held at moments in time, and that at the moment of that airstrike, they were led to believe that the individuals weren't there. Having said all of that and having done the investigation, they now believe the evidence that these individuals were actually killed on what the IDF has called as a result of a byproduct of an airstrike. I don't exactly know what a byproduct of an airstrike means, but it sounds to me like the IDF is trying to acknowledge that they were killed essentially by friendly fire. And of course, this is immensely disturbing and distracting for all of us, because we know that our IDF soldiers are doing everything that they possibly can, not only to destroy the enemy, but also to protect our hostages. And it just shows how incredibly difficult it is to achieve that all at the same time.
Anthony, that is where we leave it today. Thank you very much. Look forward to speaking to you tomorrow, and stay safe and God bless. Thank you.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Hi, it's Barry Cohen from the Blue Agency. Israel is currently facing one of its biggest challenges ever. All of Klal Yisrael is praying for the safety of our soldiers and the return of the hostages. We hope and pray that our soldiers and security forces will prevail, and that they will all return home speedily and triumphant. We hold the hands of our clients and friends who have children serving in Tzahal, who are protecting Israel and Jews around the world. May Hashem protect us all.